And the title of my message is Knowing the Time. Do we really know what time it is? Let me read from the book of Romans chapter 13, verse 11 through 14, if you have your Bibles. Paul says, and do this, knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. For now our salvation is nearer than when we first believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Therefore let us cast off all the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk properly, as in the day, not in revelry or drunkenness or in lewdness or in lust, not strife or envy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provisions for the flesh to fulfill its desires of the flesh. I think Paul the Apostle, when he speaks to our hearts, we can actually associate tonight Paul the Apostle with what's happening today in the church. You know, instead of the church going out and getting into the world and bringing people to the Christ, it seems like the world has come into the church. And the church not only has come into, you know, the world has come into the church, but the church has become overcome by the world. You talk to people today, if they've been reading their Bibles, and, you know, most people don't even know what the Bible's about. But when I got saved through Pastor Chuck Smith, I knew that I had to read the Word of God. I knew that I had to learn the Word of God. And through reading the Word of God and not only knowing Christ as my personal Lord and Savior is what's kept me all these years. I get tempted like anybody else. Satan hates me totally. You know, about a couple of years ago, 9 years ago now, I've been having these, went back to Vietnam, did that film Taking the Hill, and I was back in Vietnam, and I had to go every one of those places where I lost 41 guys. It was the hardest thing that I ever did in my life. The hardest thing. And Satan really attacked me because I started having seizures. Been healthy all my life. All my life. I don't pass out. But what happens is I'm speaking. All of a sudden, I get this from my navel to my brain. And then I can't speak. And I can't read. I have to wait. At Calvary, they already know I go like this. I'll be back in a second. But it takes sometimes a minute, sometimes 2 minutes. Then by the time I get back, probably 5 minutes. And let me say this to you. It is embarrassing. Embarrassing. But I guess God uses those weak things in our lives to not only understand that He is in control of my life and that I'm not. And when I look at the church today, I think of the church, how we've left our first love. And how we need to return back to our first love. Let me read you a couple of things that I wrote down. For example, the church of Ephesus, what Jesus had to say to them. Nevertheless, I have this against you, that you have left your first love. He doesn't leave us, we leave Him. And we leave Him for so many stupid things that we have in our lives, you know, that are not going to be of any good to each one of us individually. But they're going to keep us from the love of Christ. They're going to keep us from becoming holy as He is holy. And you know, leaving our first love is, it's everything to me. To know Him, to not only be loved by Him, but to know that He is leading and guiding my life. Because I can't do that. But it's through Him that I can do those things. The church of Smyrna, the suffering church, Revelation 2:10, he says, do not fear any of those things which you're about to suffer. The persecuted church. Indeed, the devil is about to throw some of you into prison, that you may be tested and that you will have tribulation. 10 days, be faithful until death. And I will give you the crown of life. The church of Pergamos. Revelation 2:14, he says, but I have a few things against you. Because you have those who hold the doctrine of Balaam. And notice, and taught Balak to put a stumbling block before the children of Israel. To eat things sacrificed to idols. And commit sexual immorality. Thus you also have those who hold the doctrine of the Nicolaitans, which I do hate. The church of Thyatira. I know your works, love, service, and faith, and your patience. And as for your works, the last are more than the first. Nevertheless, I have few things against you, because you allow the woman Jezebel, who calls herself a prophetess, to teach and seduce my servants and to commit sexual immorality and to eat things sacrificed unto idols. And I gave her a time to repent of her sexual immorality, but she did not repent. The church of Sardis, he says in 3:1, I know your works, that you have a name, that you are alive, but you're really dead. Church of Philadelphia, I know your works. See, I have set before you an open door. And one can shut it, said no one can shut it, for you have a little strength and have kept my words, and I have not, and I have not denied my name. I believe that's the church that we're living in today, the church that not only the rapture will come and that church will be disappearing and be taken to heaven. I like what he says we have a little strength, but he says, have kept my word and have not denied my name. Not denying the name of Jesus. And then the church of Laodicea, in Revelation 3:15, he says, I know your works, that you are neither cold nor hot. I could wish you were cold or hot. You find 7 types of people in the church today, what I just read to you. I wonder where you are tonight, spiritually speaking. Do you know Him? Do you know the power of His Holy Spirit? Is He using your life, or are you using Him for your personal needs? And that's important. Because remember that when you did not know Christ, I remember when I did not know Christ, I thought I would never ever come to know Christ. I hated Christ. I hated the church. I hated Christians. But somehow, God the Holy Spirit has a way of humbling us and getting a hold of our lives. And many times, not only is it embarrassing, but it brings you to a place where you're on your knees with your face to the floor, and all you can do is beg for mercy. And to look up to the heavens and say, Jesus, you're the only way, the only truth, and the only life. Lord, I can't make it without you. Apart from you, I can do nothing. And for me, I've been a Christian now probably 40-some years, and it hasn't been easy. Trials, temptations, situations. Because one of the goals that Satan has, not only for me, but for each one of us individually, is to disqualify you and put you on the shelf so that he can't use you in any way. We have a will. And within that will, I can obey or I can disobey God. God doesn't treat us like little puppets on a string. He gives us the freedom to obey or to disobey, to do whatever we want to do. But when we do something that is not according to His will, guess what? We're going to pay big time. We'll pay. And sometimes it's not a joy to pay. Very hard. When I read here chapter 13, 11, when he starts there, he says, and do this knowing the time, that now it is high time to get up, awake out of sleep, for now our salvation is nearer than when we first believed. Well, I've been a Christian 40-some years. He says here, for now our salvation is nearer than when we first believed. My problem is I go out and speak to different Calvaries, different churches, you know, all over the place. It seems that I always ask people, how many times have you read the Bible? How many times do you read Genesis to Revelation? And I am shocked, I am surprised, even in our own church, that one Sunday morning I said, okay, how many of you have read the whole Bible? I couldn't believe that in a Bible teaching church that probably 80% had not read the Bible. 80%. I said, how many of you have just read the New Testament? I was shocked. How many of you have read the Old Testament? I was shocked. If we don't read the Old Testament where the prophets are giving the prophecies and the New Testament are being fulfilled, how are we going to know God's will? How are we going to know God's will? Look at the times we're living in today. These are probably the most dangerous times that I've ever lived in my life. And it hurts me because of my grandbabies. What's going to happen in the next 15, 20 years if the Lord tarries? To your children, to your grandchildren. If we're not being an example to our children and grandchildren, then how are they ever going to serve the Lord and to know the Lord? You know, my office is up on top of the building. I have a big window. I can see the parking lot. And it's always interesting sitting there on a Sunday morning, all three services, watching the parking lot as families get out of their car. And I see some of them fighting before they come into church. You can tell they're mad, you know, their fists. But as they're coming through the doors, it's hilarious. And then when they leave again, there they go again. But I say to them, and I say to you tonight, you came here tonight, I hope you leave here different. I think that's real important. We can't remain the same people. Every day we have to be different in the kingdom of God. If you want God to use your life, like he says here, what? The time is near. The end is here. And every one of us individually, I don't know where you are spiritually, but if you're only, if you haven't really come to that place in your life where the Spirit of God has convicted you, and God's using your life, and your children see that in your home, you're living according to the Word of God, that you're praying with your children, you're reading the Scriptures to them, that you're being patient with them, and that they know that you love Jesus Christ with all of your might. All of your might. And then when they have a problem, you get on your knees and you pray with them so that they know you care for them. I tell our church all the time, you know, when we pray, it's really easy to, you know, just kind of say a lot of words. But I dare people always that if we're going to pray, the reason we lift our hands unto the Lord, we say because we're praising the Lord. When I was in Vietnam, when you raised your hands, it was a life of surrender. I surrender. When I raise my hands unto the Lord, I am surrendering to Him. And when I surrender to Him and I get on my knees and I put my face on the ground, it's because I'm entering the holiest of holies. The holiest of holies. Where God not only wants to speak to me, but God wants me to speak to Him. And as I sit there and I pray and I wait on the Lord, I don't have my phone with me, I don't have my wife with my kids, nobody with me, but I'm there along with Jesus. Because I want to know Him intimately in my life. And I feel that the church has gone astray. It's gone astray. We're actually operating under emotionalism in our lives. But to step out by faith, and to know that God has called me and God has anointed my life and God wants to use my life, that I understand that Satan hates me and what he wants to do is to disqualify me from everything and anything God is doing in my life. Anything he's doing in my life. And as Paul was speaking to my heart, that it's high time, notice, to wake out of sleep. That I believe that the church is sleeping and we have awoken out of our sleep. And that's why the church is in deep trouble. We have no discernment. We allow anything to happen in our lives and not come to that place of repenting and asking God to forgive me for what I've said, what I've done. Husbands hating their wives, wives hating their husbands, boyfriend here, girlfriend there, drugs, alcohol. It's incredible that we've come out of the world and we're just right back in the world that pastors today are drinking. I mean, think about that. Drinking. Going to nightclubs. doing everything that we came out of, like the dog going back to some vomit. And I think it's so important that we enter to the holiest of holies. That we can remain to be the same people. You can come here to John, you know, to the church here, to hear John preach, great preacher, great teacher. And you can sit here and hear the sermons, and then you can live here and be the same person. But it's so awesome that when I come here and I live totally different. You know why? Because God touched my heart. God has spoken to me. And He spoke to me in a way that it brings me to a place in my life to examine my life because I have been convicted by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit has convicted me. And when the Holy Spirit convicts me, there's nothing that I can do but surrender, submit, and repent. That's the only thing that I can do. And it's sad that the church today has come to a place where not only we allow the world into our church, that we become just like the world. Just like the world. We drink, fornication, adultery, all these things that we came out of that Paul talks about in Galatians, well, in 1 Corinthians 5 and 6, and then Galatians chapter 5, Ephesians chapter 5, and you go on and on. And all over the scriptures, God warns the Christian, the believer. All the epistles were written to who? To the Christian church. Think about that. Every one of them. Paul in his letter to the Corinthians says, look, if you know somebody that's a Christian living a life of sin, don't even eat with that person. Don't even eat with that person. He says, turn them over to the devil to destroy their life so they can what? Their soul can be, actually the soul can be saved. But we compromise with them. We accept them. We baby them. And not really rebuking them. That's what the Holy Spirit will do. But loving them, but being straight. And saying like Joshua, for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. I don't know what you're going to do. But we're going to serve the Lord. And when you come to that place where people knew you and people know you today, do they see a transformation in your life? Or did they see the same person? If you are the same person, then God's power hasn't really touched you. Because when God touches your life, there's such a great conviction in my heart, in my life, that there's no possible way I can go to the left or the right, but I have to look straight ahead because the Holy Spirit is bringing me to a place where He demonstrates His love and grace and mercy, but also He doesn't put up with my sin. You know why? Because if I live in my sin, I grieve the Holy Spirit of God. And the word to grieve there means to bring pain to the Holy Spirit. You know why? He's a person. He's a person. And I would pray that even here tonight, that as the Holy Spirit not only has prepared our hearts through our brothers worshiping here, that as we enter into that place of examination, you know, checking our hearts tonight, and praying for your children, praying for your grandbabies, for the future. Because we don't know what's going to happen in the future. We know Jesus is coming again. At the time, we really don't know. And God has given us that opportunity not only to return to our first love, and to come to that place when I say that I've repented, that my heart not only has changed, but I've done a turnaround. And I'm no longer going in the way of the world, but I'm going back to the cross of Jesus Christ. The cross. If any man wants to come after me, let him deny himself, pick up his cross, and what? Follow me. The cross is the instrument of what? Death. Dying to myself. Denying myself. Following by faith Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. And there's no possible way that as a believer that I can stand there and support anyone's sin. I can't do that. I cannot do that. And I would expect you not to put up with my sin either. And that's why you're brothers and sisters in the Lord. And if you're not a Christian tonight, awesome. I'm glad you're here. Because the Holy Spirit will speak to your own heart, because God will give you the opportunity to come to the light or to stay in darkness, to go to heaven or to go to hell. You make that choice. You make that choice. And within that choice that we make, we speak forever. Forever and ever and ever. Never again anything temporal, but all eternal. What has God done in your life? What is He doing in your life? And what will He do in your life in the future to come? Are you really truly born again of the Holy Spirit? Do you really read God's Word? Do you really pray to God? Do you really want to attend church to be taught the Word of God, so that when the Word of God is taught to me, then I can not only be instructed, convicted, so I can begin to do what God's Word says. I can develop, I can be strengthened, I can mature in Jesus Christ. But I look at the church today and I call it the Church of Corinth. The Church of Corinth was a carnal church. A church with one foot in spirituality, another one in the world, and striving to try to live in the world and to try to live in Christ. You can't do it. You're going to get hurt. You're going to get hurt. Listen, you're either in or get yourself out. Because Christ loves you more than you'll ever love Him. And He doesn't want you to play games with Him. He wants you to come to a place of submission, humility, and surrender of your life to Him fully and completely. For that is the only way God can use my life. Tonight we came here, we heard the Katinas, amazing music, worship, the message. And then when you leave here and you go home and the Holy Spirit really hasn't affected your life, you're going to be the same way for the rest of the week, for the set month, and for the rest of the year, and probably for all your life. Because when the Holy Spirit really brings conviction, then there's true repentance. And when there's true repentance, there's a change of behavior, a change of attitude. And it's an attitude now of worship. Recognizing that when I come into the presence of God, I can't get away with anything because He loves me. And because I am His child, He's my Father, what does He do? He spanks me. If you're not a Christian, He'll never spank you. But if you're a Christian, read Hebrews chapter 12. He says, what? Because we're Christians and because He loves us, He spanks us. He disciplines us. And many times when we're being disciplined, you know, we kind of come to that place and say, well, you know what, it wasn't really discipline. I just kind of, you know, doing this and doing that. When God is saying, I'm speaking to you. I'm disciplining you. Why? Because look at your life. Look what time it is. Let's just say the Lord would be coming back tonight. And the Lord would begin to take people out to heaven. Let's say the rapture of the church. I wonder how many of us would be left behind. I think that would be the most awful feeling to know and to understand that you were waiting for the Lord to come back, and all of a sudden for Him to come back in a twinkle of an eye and to be taken to heaven, and to know that you were part of that family, but you look around and you've been left behind. Can you imagine that emptiness? To know for sure that Jesus came, and now for the last 7 years of world history, it's going to be hell. And the only way out is to be beheaded. That's the only way. Because if you don't submit to Jesus Christ, then you'll never be able to submit to reality. We need to submit to the cross of Jesus Christ. Salvation is the free gift of God. The free gift of God. 1 Peter 1:5 says, it says, and who kept us by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last times. In the last times, these are the last times. I got saved 40 some years ago, and I can't believe how so many things have changed in society. When I was a kid, you could leave your door open where you live and nobody would break in. Now, you have to put alarms. You have to be careful that when you go to the grocery store because you might get jumped or robbed, whatever. And these are the times that we're living in where the people and the church is not safe. And the only way that we can come to that safety is to surrender to Christ all my life. Paul says, the night is far spent, the day is at hand, therefore let us cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. Cast off the works of darkness. Leave them at the cross. Leave them tonight here. Some of you guys that are here, believe it or not, if we were around this room by now and we say, okay, raise up your hand, think of how many men and women are into pornography today. Little kids. Pornography. That is destroying families, destroying men, destroying women, destroying children. Children. Because of my phone. Because of my iPad. Because of my computer. And it's so sad because these people become not only in bondage to their actual computer, whatever it is, that becomes their God. And if I have a problem in my life, and I can share this with you guys, I remember the first time I ever watched pornography. You know how old I was? 8 years old. I wasn't looking for it. Somebody in one of those homes was playing it. And it affected my mind for the rest of my life. Imagine those little children, your sons, your daughters, that are being affected by sin, the sin of pornography. How about drunkenness? How about drugs in the church? Paul says what in 2 Corinthians 5:17? Therefore, if any man is in Christ Jesus, all things are passed away, and behold, all things become brand new. Brand new. And yet look at the church today. The Holy Spirit has become grieved. The night is far spent. And the Lord is coming and the church is still sleeping. I would pray tonight that the Holy Spirit would deeply, deeply touch my heart. And then my conscience would come to that place in looking at my life, what I've been doing, what I've been saying, what I've been hearing. Is it building up my life in Christ Jesus? Or is it taking me away from Christ Jesus? And bringing me into bondage? And bringing me into a place where no longer walking or serving or being close to the heart of God so I can hear His heartbeat as He hears my heartbeat. And to me that's very important. To understand that when He called me, I surrendered. And when I surrendered, I never ever wanted to go back to my old life. And yet, why is it that so many people want to go back to their old life when your old life was destroyed and sending you to hell? Too much is given, much more is required. There's all these scriptures. And I would pray this evening that as God speaks to you personally, and it brings you to that awareness of your life where you stand spiritually here tonight. That if you've been playing games with God and you are doing what I just told you, pornography, drinking, all these things that are going on in your life, man, you need to repent. You need to repent in your heart before it's too late. Before it's too late. Like the church of Laodicea. He says, I'd rather have you, you're either hot or cold, but to be in the middle, to be lukewarm, I will vomit you out of my mouth. Vomit you out of my mouth. In the church of Ephesus, you have left your first love. I didn't leave you, you left me. Repent. It says repent and return. Repent and return. And many times it's hard to return. You know why? Because we haven't repented. When you repent of your sins, the Holy Spirit brings you to a place of shame. I'm ashamed of what I've been doing because of the Holy Spirit not only bringing conviction to my life, but I've disobeyed. I've hardened my heart to the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit has been hurt, has been grieved. And maybe the Holy Spirit, you know, brought you especially tonight to hear the catenas. And I thank God for John putting these things together here so you get an opportunity to come hear the music and then get a message. But we can come, hear the music, hear the message, and leave the same way we came here tonight. No change. No transformation. And I pray tonight that the Holy Spirit will speak to you clearly. Clearly, like He's never spoken to you. So that when you come into the presence of the Lord and He begins to speak to your heart, that you would have an ear to hear what the Holy Spirit is saying to you and to me. I can't do anything apart from Him. The only one that can bring me to my knees. The only one that can speak to me. The only one that reminds me of the things that I need to change and the things that I shouldn't do. And because He loves me and because I love Him, then I'm going to try to walk by faith and do everything that I can to obey His word. To obey His word. And I wonder how many times the Holy Spirit will speak to us in that area of our lives. And yet, we have no ear to hear what the Holy Spirit is saying. Tonight, if the Holy Spirit will speak to you, I say, Holy Spirit, please speak to us. And you came here, and you're still drinking. You're still taking drugs. You're committing adultery on your husband or your wife. And you know all the sins. I don't have to mention them. And you're sitting here tonight worshiping. I saw you guys worshiping. That's cool. But it's a true worship. God is a spirit, and those that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. In truth. Don't be phony. Be truthful. As I lift my hands unto the Lord, like Isaiah chapter 1 says what? He says, man, put your hands on, they're full of blood. Our hands have to be clean. And the only way to get my hands clean is to submit, surrender, and repent and ask Christ to forgive me for my sin. So I don't know where you are spiritually, but I know that God has spoken to many of us here. And He wants to transform my life because He has such an amazing, amazing life for you if you surrender. And He's going to use you like you never thought He would ever use your life. For He's the one that baptizes us with power. And He's the one that takes up one and takes down the other. And He's the one that not only opens the doors but shuts the doors. And He's the only one that is calling out. By name He calls us because He created us for His glory and for His purposes. And Father, I pray in Your name, Jesus, Lord, I pray that Your Holy Spirit, God, Father, would not only speak, but would transform.